Southern California College Training, July 6 through 12, 2009, Sacramento, California. Title, Christ Lives in Me. Evening Session, Message 1. Being Rescued Out of the Present Evil Age. Scripture Reading, Galatians 1, 3-4.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah, Christ is now my life.
Christ is now my life. That means a lot. Tonight we get to Christ in me. Christ in me, and particularly aiming at the experience of Christ in the book of Galatians.
Amen.
We're not here for a doctrinal Christ. We're here to see and enter into the experience of the experiential enjoyment of Christ.
Amen.
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 Well, I'd like to begin by just mentioning quickly that the greatest truth in the entire Bible, which we could never hear too often, the greatest truth in the entire Bible is the truth called God's economy.
Amen.
And this is the truth mentioned in 1 Timothy 1, 3 and 4. Where Paul was speaking to Timothy in a very degraded and dark time, indicating to him, charge certain one, charge the brothers, not to teach different things, not to teach differently, myths, unending genealogies, etc., rather than God's economy,
Amen.
Which is in faith.
Amen.
What does he mean by this? Many of us know this verse. We've even memorized this verse. Teach God's economy. Unending genealogies, not myths, not fables, not other things, not differently, but God's economy, which is in faith. Well, just in a brief way, God's economy has three aspects. Number one is God's economy is His plan, His eternal plan. Not a kind of fly-by-night. This is His eternal plan, made in eternity past. And this plan is to do nothing but fill all of His people, all of His chosen ones, with nothing but Christ. This is His plan, is to fill His people with nothing but Christ. Then His way. Secondly is His way. His way is by this wonderful Christ taking some critical steps. We call this being processed and consummated, but this is the step of this very Christ becoming a man by the name Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus!
Amen.
How about we all shout Jesus two times?
Jesus!
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 Christ became a man.
Amen.
And then He, after 33 and a half years of a model God-man living, died a wonderful death to solve every single problem there is in the universe. Amen.
Amen!
And then He entered into death, passed through death, swallowed up death in victory, and in resurrection became a wonderful life-giving spirit.
Amen.
He became a life-giving spirit so that He is the Christ God's plan is to fill his people with nothing but Christ. But this Christ must be experiential. So he became the wonderful life-giving Spirit so that he could get into us to be experienced by us and enjoyed by us, particularly in our spirit,
Amen.
In the depth of our being. So thank the Lord for God's plan. Fill us with nothing but Christ.
Amen.
God's way is by this Christ being processed to become the life-giving Spirit so that he could genuinely fill us. And we can genuinely, daily, moment by moment, experience him. And enter into the reality and experience which is in God's heart, the experience of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Then the goal of God's plan. The goal of God's plan is that this Christ, by distributing himself into us, which he's doing tonight, he did while we were singing.
Amen.
He was doing while people were speaking different words of verses. Amen. Little by little, day by day, moment by moment,
Amen.
This wonderful Christ is making us his enlargement.
Amen.
Making us his expansion. Making us his increase. Making us the body of Christ.
Amen.
Which is just Jesus getting bigger.
Amen.
Jesus expanding.
Amen.
So his plan, his way, and his goal. My main point here is this is the greatest truth in the whole Bible. When we come to the book of Galatians, we need to see Galatians in the context of this greatest truth. The plan to fill us with nothing but Christ, the way is by Christ becoming experiential as the wonderful life-giving Spirit, and his goal is to make us the enlargement of this Christ for his testimony. So, this is God's economy. So by this you can see God's economy has a center, a reality, and everything. The center, the reality, and everything in God's economy is Christ.
Amen.
Is Christ.
Amen.
Nothing should ever replace Christ. In the book of Galatians, many subtle replacements came in for Christ. And that's why God is jealous.
Amen.
I tell you, when somebody's jealous, God is jealous over us. It says in 2 Corinthians, he's jealous over us with a divine jealousy. And the Apostle Paul was into that jealousy. Jealous over us with the jealousy of God. God is very jealous. Very jealous that nothing, no one, no matter, no thing would ever replace Christ.
Amen.
Because Christ is the center, reality, and everything in God's economy. And the book of Galatians, a very subtle, evil replacement. But this is why Christ, the very Son of God, died on the cross. That he might rescue us
Amen.
Out of this present evil subtlety.
Amen.
A replacement for Christ. So, the greatest truth is God's economy. This truth is constituted with nothing but Christ. And this is the truth that we need to see the book of Galatians in context of. And I'm still reminded, brothers and sisters, I will appreciate for eternity the story of Matthew 17, where the Lord took, Peter, James, and John up to the mountain. He was transfigured. Finally, at last, they recognized who he really was. This man is God.
Amen.
And another miracle happened where Moses appeared and Elijah appeared, signifying all of the Old Testament with the law, the first five books particularly of the Old Testament, and the prophets, all the rest of the Old Testament. One representing the law, one representing the prophets. And Peter, because he was not clear concerning God's economy, right away suggests foolishly, let's make a tent, a dwelling place, a tabernacle for Jesus, Elijah, and Moses. Putting Moses and Elijah on the same level as Jesus. This offended God. This offended God. The heavens were darkened. The voice spoke very clearly. And the disciples hit the dirt. They're face down. And the Lord made it very clear. This is my Son.
Amen.
Hear Him.
Amen.
This is my beloved. This is my favorite. This is everything to me. And eventually, it says, when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus Himself alone.
Amen.
How about we pray this? Lord, I want to see nothing but You, Yourself alone. Lord, I want to see nothing but You, Yourself alone. This is God's economy. So, in the book of Galatians, there's a very, very subtle replacement for this Christ, who's everything in God's economy. And this replacement is religion. This replacement is religion. Even the Bible. The prophets became a replacement. But the prophets that represented by Elijah were just to unveil Christ. The law, with all of its demands and details, does nothing but express Christ and expose us because we're not like Him. So, in John 5:39 and 40, one time Jesus was with some of the religious leaders, and He said, "You search the Scriptures, because in them you think you have eternal life." They even had the Bible. But they were not seeing God's center. They were not seeing God's economy. So you search the Scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. But it is these Scriptures that testify concerning Me. Right? Then He said, but you're not willing. You're not willing to come to Me. You're happy to have replacements. You're happy. You're happy to have replacements for Me. Brothers and sisters, this is the subtlety of Satan. Because God's economy, the center, reality, and everything is nothing but Christ, Satan's stratagem is to bring in every kind of subtle replacement possible. So, Satan uses this matter of religion to replace Christ. But may we have our eyes open. May I have my eyes open tonight.
Amen.
That I would enjoy Christ living in me.
Amen.
And really experience nothing but Christ.
Amen.
And we'd see the experience of Christ in the book of Philippians. So, I was really touched. The overall subject of the book of Galatians, if you put it in a very simple term, is Christ versus religion. Tell your neighbor, the subject of Galatians is Christ versus religion. So don't get lost. As you go through Galatians, don't get lost. Don't forget the first aspect of the subject is Christ.
Amen.
What's the subject of Galatians? Christ.
Amen.
But Christ versus religion, which is the most subtle stratagem of the devil to bring in replacements for Christ. This reminds me of a story. A brother who went to be with the Lord just a couple of years ago that I knew very, very well, stayed in his home many times from Australia. A very accomplished chemistry professor and vice chancellor of a very renowned university in Australia, went as a visiting professor to UCI in 1980. He was already a believer, but he had so many religious things in his mind. But he was looking. He was looking. He was looking. And one day, walking across campus, he saw the signboard advertising different clubs and Bible studies and things like that. And our club on campus, the title was, for the Bible study, Christ versus Religion.
Amen.
Yeah. Whoa. Christ versus Religion. So, he went. And he never stopped going. He got captured.
Amen.
And he became a crazy, crazy lover of Jesus.
Amen.
Very intelligent person, but a very simple, crazy lover of Jesus.
Amen.
Because he got brought to the truth of God's economy and the content and the center and the reality, which is just Christ.
Amen.
He realized he'd been hung up on so many things from the religious world that became replacements to Christ. And this is the first time in his life where he got released. He got relieved. And he did not care after that what price he had to pay. And he paid a lot of price to follow the Lord absolutely. And I would say the Lord's recovery is going on well. One of the big reasons is just because of the Lord's mercy, raising this brother up and paying the price to follow him wherever he may go. Anyway, brothers and sisters, this is my burden. How about we read Galatians 1, 3, and 4 again, even though you were quoting it? Okay? Let's read those two verses one more time.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might rescue us. According to the will of our God and Father.
Amen. Anyway, look at verse 5 also. To whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Look at 6. I marvel, you Christians, you believers in Galatia, you are so quickly removing from him. Who's him? Christ. Removing from him to what? Not just outwardly secular things, but subtle, evil, religious replacements. From him who has called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. The Galatians were suffering under a distraction and were even to the point of speaking a different gospel. I'm so happy tonight, I'm so released tonight, so joyful tonight, because our gospel is filled with nothing but Christ.
Amen.
My Christian life was revolutionized because I had a long Christian upbringing and complicated background, but to be brought to the Lord's recovery, to be brought to nothing and no one but this all-inclusive Christ, what a salvation.
Amen.
What a joy.
Amen.
Look at some of the other verses in 1, the 7, which is not another gospel. Only there are some who trouble you and desire to pervert the gospel of Christ. The gospel is the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, the gospel is the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
Not a different thing, not this or that. And then verse 8, wow, announced to you a gospel beyond that which we announced to you. It's a different gospel. Then in 9, gospel again, beyond that which you've received. Whoever announces such a gospel, let him be accursed. In other words, Christ plus something, or Christ mixed with something, or Christ eliminated by something. Mainly Christ replaced by something. 11, for I make known to you, brothers, concerning the gospel announced by me.
Amen.
Then you go to 15, it pleased God, and then 16, to reveal his son in me.
Amen.
That I might announce him.
Amen.
Not this or that, but I would announce him.
Amen.
As the gospel. So we want to be those who are focused, who are concentrated, who are clear, who are not cheated by the devil to announce God's economy, which is nothing but Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I have a little email that you would enjoy. Just got an email from Ethiopia. I don't know if I read it to any of you. A month ago, this is about 2 weeks old, this email. The brothers in Addis Ababa, and they're all young. And one church near Addis Ababa is Nazareth, 45 saints, 30 of them are high schoolers. And the last conference we were there in April, they're on fire. The most prophecies came from the high schoolers. Anyway, the Lord's brooding over six other cities, and their burden to raise up lampstands in 40 cities right now. I won't get into those details. Anyway, about a month ago, we visited a city east of Addis. That's about 360 miles east. We stayed there with some campus students and residents of the town for 5 days. Through our contact and the meetings we had with about 20 of them, we gained about 12 saints, out of which 10 decided to take the ground of the church. So these are mostly campus students. They took the ground of the church and began to meet on the 13th of June. They began to meet as the church in the town is called Goba. Hallelujah for the church in Goba.
Amen.
Amen. How about we pray, oh, Lord Jesus, bless the church in Goba. Oh, Lord Jesus,
bless the church in Goba.
And then the brother said, what a triumphant Christ we have. He just captivates people everywhere we take him. And their focus is just Christ. Now, just one little, there's a long, but I'll just read one little paragraph. During our stay there, there was a very hostile opposition from all the denominations in the town. It has continued to this day, but the saints took a firm stand and declared they do not wish to confer with flesh and blood for what has been revealed to them from the Lord.
Amen.
We had some contact with some of the leaders of these denominations, and they did enjoy Christ with us, the Christ that we presented to them. But they couldn't take what we spoke concerning the church, which is just the body of Christ. It's just Christ enlarged. They're just, this is where Christ has been replaced. Christ has been replaced. So the matter of religion has become a tremendous problem. But isn't that good? They don't care. They feel to stand in a pure way for God's economy. For nothing but Christ and the testimony of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Well, now, number one, the subject of the book of Galatians is the rescue of the distracted believers out of the evil religious age. Friends, sisters, the world is Satan's cosmos. And it's manifested in age after age after age, period after period, and it may have a different expression, but it's still the age. It's something to distract people from Christ and something to replace Christ. So very, very evil in the eyes of God. Anyway, It's the subject of the book of Galatians is the rescue of the distracted people out of the evil religious age. You know, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In the beginning, there's just two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life is just Christ. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is Satan. There's only two sources. So Satan's most subtle way to distract God's children is to occupy them with and snare them with not just the evil, but the knowledge of good and evil, evil and good. And many religious things appear to be good, but they are just Satan because they are not Christ. And the Lord's desire, he's very jealous over us, that nothing would ever take us away from Christ. We would not turn away or fall away from grace as the Galatians were. But we would be focused on, concentrated on nothing and no one but Christ. So the world, brothers and sisters, has two aspects. It has secular and religious. And actually, these two go together. Secular and religious. Satan uses the world in different stages or ages so that he could do whatever he could to distract God's people from his unique center, which is just himself in Christ. Just Christ. So, may the Lord really give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we would see this evil religious age. This would not just be three words to us, evil religious age, but this would be a revelation to us. This is in contrast to Christ.
Amen.
It's either Christ or the evil religious age. The world is composed of religion, the religious world, and the secular world. But actually, they hold hands. Actually, they go together. One uses the other. And both become a replacement for Christ. So may the Lord give us all a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
We would have a clear view of God's economy, which is filled with nothing but Christ.
Amen.
And Satan, with his stratagem, which is particularly manifested through the evil religious age. Now, an age refers to a section, an aspect of the world as the satanic system, which is used by Satan to usurp, occupy God's people, to keep them away from God and from his people. You know, the world, brothers and sisters, the world, the cosmos, we're not talking about people, we're talking about a system. We're talking about a system that's made up of many isms. But the world, the satanic world, is a combination, as I mentioned, as of the secular world and the religious world. But behind both, the source of both, is Satan. Two verses here of 1 John 2, right, Brian, 14, 15, says, if anyone, listen to this, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If anyone loves the world, this does not mean, don't misunderstand, this doesn't mean we don't love people. But if anybody loves this satanic system, anybody loves this system, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Our experience and love, let's face it, love is our highest experience of God.
Amen.
Love is our richest experience. Nothing will kill your love faster than love for the world. love for the world. Whether it be secular or religious. Because both have their source in Satan as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to take us away from the unique center of God's economy, which is nothing but Christ. According to the content of this book, the present evil age here refers to the religious world, the religious course of the world. You know, in Ephesians 2:2, it says, you once walked in the course of this age. The age, brothers and sisters, the age is like a flow. It's like the course of this age, Ephesians 2:2. You walked according, you had your being according to the course of this age. It's like the flow of this age. Okay, quiz. What's the biggest type or the main type or picture of the world from the Bible? Egypt. The country of Egypt. And what's the main picture of Satan? Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt. And what did Egypt do? Egypt occupied all of God's people, kept them in captivity. And he's doing the same thing today. But the Lord died that he might rescue us.
Amen.
Out of the present evil age.
Amen.
So, Satan signified by Pharaoh, the world signified by Egypt. What was the main river in Egypt? Nile, I believe, is the longest river in the world. In fact, when I'm in Ethiopia, part of the Nile goes right through there. Anyway, the Nile signifies a course. The river signifies a course, a flow. And it's like, I'm just using an illustration, it's like Egypt operates. Whatever Satan put into the flow, whoever's down the river just picks it up and whoo-hoo. It's kind of like clothing. You know, the latest style. Latest style is you should have a tie that's 18 inches wide. And Satan and his co-workers put that in the flow of the age, and pretty soon people are just buying this fat tie. And Satan and his co-workers are just giggling. Look at these stupid people. Then about 2 years later, it's about 1 inch thick, 1 inch wide. Look at these people. Okay, then 2 years later, you got to have pants with straps on them up over your shoulder. And a few years later, you got to take one of those straps off so you look like they're falling off. And you can just imagine Satan is going, oh, look at these stupid people. Just dumps it in the Nile. Everybody picks it up. Well, this is the flow. It's cool, like totally. Well, this is his subtlety. And the most subtle stratagem is related to religion. Related to religion. At the time of Jesus and at the time of the early church life, when Galatians was written, the flow, the age was typified around Jesus and the disciples as a religious age. A religious age signified and indicated through Judaism, the Jewish religion. So let's go. Okay. So according to the content of this book, the present evil age here refers to the religious world, the religious course of the world. See, the purpose of Christ giving himself for our sins was to rescue us, to pluck us out of the present evil religious age. with its Judaistic system. This is to release God's chosen people from the custody of the law, to bring them out of the sheepfold into the one flock according to the will of God.
Amen.
You know, what if you're taken into custody? Jonah. Amen.
Amen.
What if you're taken into custody, you're handcuffed, you're surrounded by guards? It's no fun. No fun. What if all you brothers just take him into custody, put handcuffs on him, his feet are in stocks, and his head too? And he's totally confined, totally in custody. Thank you, brother. This is what Satan does, even by religion. He uses even the things of the Bible, such as the law, to put us in custody to the law. We become prisoners, not of Christ, but prisoners of the law. But Christ died. He shed his blood to rescue us from this present evil age and to take us out of custody from being separated in so many folds into the one flock. So that all of us could be happy sheep,
Amen.
Enjoying Christ the pasture,
Amen.
Saying, Hallelujah. Better tell your neighbor, Hallelujah. Nothing would replace Christ. Nothing would replace him. Now listen to this, saints. Number one, Judaism has earthly promises with earthly blessings, because there was the blessing of a physical piece of land with all of its aspects. But in the New Testament, we have the all-inclusive Spirit.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, Hallelujah, we have the all-inclusive Spirit. And this is the totality of the unsearchable riches of Christ to be our unique blessing for us to bless others.
Amen.
Not only for us to enjoy, but for us to bless others.
Amen.
We get to bless others.
Amen.
You know, the best way to be protected for the world and from the religious world and the secular world is just enjoy these blessings.
Amen.
Enjoy this all-inclusive Christ, this wonderful Spirit. And bless others with him. Bless others with him in little ways. Here and there, little ways. This is wonderful. Friends, sisters, we need to pray, Lord, Lord, show me how rich I am.
Amen.
Otherwise, I go around like a pitiful beggar. But you have handed me. You have given to me. And even you've become in me.
Amen.
As the wonderful Spirit. You've become the totality of the riches in this universe. Unsearchable, untraceable, unlimited. Amen.
Amen.
So our job is to enjoy.
Amen.
And to bless others with this Christ and his riches. If I give you a Bible, you say, thank you. Well, that's good. If I give you a car, you say, wow, that's even better. I got a car to drive in. If I give you a house, you say, wow. If I give you the whole state of California, it's all yours. Everything's yours for your enjoyment. You say, wow. Woo! How about if I give you all of America? It's yours. Just enjoy. How about if I give you the whole Western Hemisphere? Amen. How about the whole Eastern Hemisphere? What if I give you the whole earth? The whole earth is yours. Travis, it's yours. Amen. For you to enjoy. How about if I give you the whole universe? The whole thing, with every positive thing therein, is yours for your enjoyment. How about if I give you a person that the Bible says overflows the universe? Christ fills the whole universe.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we are rich.
Amen.
Oh, Satan, subtlety, is to bring in so many religious subtle replacements so that we would be going around like pitiful beggars instead of glorious, happy inheritors.
Amen.
So again, may the Lord have mercy on us to show us, expose this present evil age, and at the same time to unveil to us the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Amen.
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 Who is He? He's the complete God. He's the perfect man. He's the reality of every positive thing in the universe. Amen.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I had a day today you cannot believe. There was not one thing that went outwardly right the whole day. Not one thing. Including missing my first flight today. And returning home and all kinds of that. There wasn't anything. But all I can say is I am so happy.
Amen.
That I don't have to be a pitiful beggar.
Amen.
But I could be a glorious inheritor.
Amen.
In the middle of everything to enjoy Christ.
Amen.
And to be feasting with all of you tonight.
Amen.
In the college training.
Amen.
Amen on this wonderful Christ.
Amen.
Everything you can imagine went wrong. Everything. I cannot even explain. It would take about 4 hours. Everything. But I tell you, even when everything goes wrong, when you enjoy Christ, you are supplied. You are supplied. And what happens when you're supplied? You get saved. You get saved. And what happens? Christ can be... These blessings that are in you can go to someone else. Amen.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, this wonderful Christ became the all-inclusive Spirit who does what? What's Spirit mean? Spirit means coming. Spirit means reaching. Spirit means entering. Spirit means mingling, saturating, permeating, filling, soaking, saturating. Permeating, brothers and sisters, this wonderful Christ is not just doctrinal. He is the Spirit.
Amen.
When I heard the word Spirit growing up in my Christian background, I was afraid because the term was called Holy Ghost. And I none of us like ghosts. But hallelujah, the true word is Spirit.
Amen.
Pneuma.
Amen.
Wind, air, breath. Experiential.
Amen.
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 Contactable.
Amen.
Touchable.
Amen.
Breathable.
Amen.
Smugglable.
Amen.
I saw somebody ask their neighbor, what's smugglable mean? I'll tell you some other time. How about we stand and shout two times? Hallelujah! This all-inclusive Christ became the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah!
This all-inclusive Christ became the life-giving Spirit.
Hallelujah!
This all-inclusive Christ became the life-giving Spirit.
Thank you. Now, so you see, Satan, the present evil age at that time, the appearance was Judaism. Judaism has the law of letters, but in the New Testament we have the law of the Spirit of life. Brothers and sisters, the letters, the law of letters will kill you. In other words, you just try to be like God by looking at the law. The only thing that will happen is you become condemned. Because nobody outwardly can just be like God. None can imitate Him. But thank the Lord, Christ became the life-giving Spirit so that we could experience Him as the law of the Spirit of life.
Amen.
That means what? That means what? We're not stuck here as Christians trying to imitate Jesus, trying to be good Christians. We are here to be those who are touching Christ.
Amen.
As the Spirit.
Amen.
And because He's the law of the Spirit of life, automatically, here's the word pick up with the law of the Spirit of life, automatically,
Amen.
Because there's a law card called the arrow of law of aerodynamics, when a plane is going down a runway, it starts taking off. Because there's the law of the Spirit of life, when you're enjoying the Lord as the Spirit, wow. you automatically are becoming the same as He is.
Amen.
Automatically.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Judaism was taking people back. Christians got saved. They had Christ, but taking them back just to be law keepers and missing Christ as the Spirit who automatically makes us the same as He is. And He's the one who fulfilled all the righteous requirements of the law. So what a subtle stratagem of the devil. But the Lord died to rescue us. Rescue us out of this present evil religious age. Now, number three, Judaism has mediatorial priests, but in the New Testament, all the believers are priests.
Amen.
To be holy, a holy and royal priesthood.
Amen.
Brother, sister, tell your neighbor, neighbor, you are a priest.
Amen.
But please, please, drop your concept you have in your head about priests. The truth of the Bible is a priest is somebody who lives in the presence of and enjoys day and night this wonderful Christ.
Amen.
This is a priest. A priest is just somebody who lives in the presence of and enjoys this wonderful Christ and is one with Him to convey Him to others. There's two words that are really outstanding, wonderful words to help us to be a proper priest. A Christian is a priest. And to be a proper Christian, a proper priest, Peter talks about this matter in his epistle. 1 Peter 2:4 says, to be a proper priest, we need to be those who are always coming to Him. Always coming to Him. Always opening to Him. Always, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I love You. Oh, Lord, amen. We open the Bible, we come to Him. We pray, we come to Him. We're listening to a message, we're coming to Him. No matter what we're doing, we're coming to Him. Just burdened to be one with Him. Just to be one with Him. Then in the same chapter, Chapter 2, which says, coming to Him, verse 9 says, you're a royal priesthood. And it says to tell out the virtues of Him. Wow. Tell out the virtues of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So we want to be real priests, not religious priests. We want to be real priests according to God's economy. Just one with Christ. Enjoying Christ and telling out, expressing, and releasing all of His virtues. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, everybody wants love, but there isn't any love except Christ. Everybody wants oneness, but it's elusive. Like a bird flying away every time you get close. But hallelujah, we have these virtues. We have love. We have oneness. We have patience when we're totally exhausted. We cannot make it another minute. But praise the Lord! By coming to Him, we enjoy one who's inexhaustible.
Amen.
Unsearchably rich. So we get to tell out the virtues of Him.
Amen.
It's just the Lord's mercy and grace, but my wife and I are married 45 years this year. And we really thank the Lord. And we are so thankful that we are not just depending on our own love and our own submission and our own subjection to make a marriage work. But we are so happy that we've been brought into this wonderful Christ.
Amen.
Into the enjoyment of this Christ.
Right.
So that we could experience His virtues of love, subjection, oneness. Without Him, nobody can make it. Nobody can make it. His love is inexhaustible, unlimited, and eternal.
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Your love is exhaustible, temporary, and easily broken. I love you, Charles. I hate your guts. 2 days later. Right? Thank the Lord we could enjoy Him by coming to Him and every day tell out His virtues. Tell out the virtues of Him. Then Judaism, see, in number 4, has a material temple. But in the New Testament, the temple is a spiritual house, a dwelling place of God in spirit. Ephesians 2:21 says, "You in whom you all the building of God grows into a holy temple." 22 says, "In whom you also," Amen. "You also," Amen. "Brian, are being built together." Amen. I mean, Bert, no, not Bert. I always get Bert and Brian mixed up. I know it's B. B means bubbling. Bert, "in whom you also," Amen. "are being built together," Amen. "into a dwelling place of God in spirit."
Amen.
In our spirit. Every time we're in our spirit, Travis, enjoying this Christ, we're automatically being built together.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
God's building is going on.
Amen.
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 We brothers over the years have enjoyed building.
Amen.
Isn't that the truth?
Amen.
We've enjoyed building, not because of anything of us or our wonderful talent or all together, but all together because of this wonderful Christ,
Amen.
Who's the Spirit. And we can touch Him and experience Him in our spirit.
Amen.
We can be built together in the Spirit.
Amen.
Into God's house.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, you can see the present age at the time of Jesus, at the time of the early church, was a religious age, a present evil religious age, signified by Judaism. Judaism, brothers and sisters, that was the age then. But today, the age is even more evil and more subtle and more complicated. And don't ever, when I'm speaking, don't ever think I'm talking about people. I'm talking about a system. Satan uses a system. It's called an ism, such as Catholicism. Or even Protestantism. And then you have many that are not even related to Christ. Hinduism. Buddhism. All kinds of isms. All over the place. So, if you are a believer in Christ, Satan's next goal is to put you into the religious age. Okay, you're a Christian. But I will frustrate you. I'll frustrate you by religion. Something that apparently is for God, but actually is short of Christ. Okay, well, I think the points will help us. 2, we must overcome. Let's read Roman numeral 2 together. Go. We must overcome the atmosphere. Knowing and caring for nothing but Christ, who's the life-giving Spirit in our spirit. Brothers and sisters, these verses in Galatians indicate 2:20, Christ lives in me.
Amen.
It's Christ who lives in me.
Amen.
How about you tell your neighbor, hallelujah, Christ lives in me, neighbor.
Hallelujah, Christ lives in me, neighbor.
Amen, Pillar. And then this wonderful Christ we see in chapter 3 is the Christ that we have put on. And in chapter 4, this wonderful Christ in verse 19 is being formed in us. The whole book of Galatians has many points, but the main point is Christ. Christ experientially revealed in me, living in me. I'm in Him, He's in me. And He is being formed in me. So that eventually Jonah and Christ look the same.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? That's wonderful. This is the real burden of Galatians. But what has distracted And what has caused people to replace Christ is the evil age of religion. Now, religion is to worship God, to serve God, and to do certain things to please God, yet without Christ. Anything we do without Christ or by not being in our mingled spirit is religion. It's religion. Brothers and sisters, God desires that we would enjoy Christ.
Amen.
I love this. Religion is the worship of God without the enjoyment of Christ. Would all of you admit that it's very possible, and many times even in our own life, we can worship God without any enjoyment of Christ? Brothers and sisters, when I began to read some of the truth, yet I was still in the denominations, I love the brothers and sisters there very much, even to this day. But because there was no supply of Christ, Christ was not the center, but many things. I was starving to death. I remember my wife and I driving home sometimes from a meeting. We loved everybody in the denomination, but we were starving to death. And I tell you, when we came into the church life and discovered how rich Christ is, and that He's the unique center of God's economy and nothing and no one should replace Him,
amen,
we got saved.
Amen.
We became crazy lovers,
amen,
of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. My Christian life is revolutionized because we get brought to the truth that in God's economy there is nothing but Christ and nothing should ever replace Him.
Amen.
Nothing should ever replace Him. The Bible is a romance, brothers and sisters. Oh. You know, I come home from a long trip to Africa or somewhere, and I go to Africa this week, Saturday night. But come home, I come into my apartment after a trip. My wife falls down on her face and says, "Oh, big husband, I worship you. I will shine your shoes. I'll wash your dishes. I'll fix your meals." What do I say? "Silly woman, stand up and give me a kiss." In other words, this is an illustration in the life study of Romans. Brothers and sisters, God is tired of so many people outwardly, "Ooh, I'll worship you this way." He said, "Would you just kiss my son? Would you just tell my son you love him? Will you just enjoy Christ? Will you just smuggle him? I'll be happy."
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Psalm 2:12. Guess what that says? It says, "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry."
Wow.
Tell your neighbor, "Neighbor, the best way to get God unhappy is to not kiss Him." Listen, saints, who knows John 4:24? Listen, the definition, the word worship in Greek is proskuneo. And one of the definitions of proskuneo is run forward and kiss. The real worship is to enjoy Christ,
amen,
is to kiss Christ, is to eat Christ, drink Him, absorb Him, be one with Him. This is the real worship. So, is it possible to do many things to try to please God without enjoying Christ? Is it possible? Do we do it? Do we need saved? That's why the Lord died.
Amen.
To rescue us.
Amen.
Out of the present evil age.
Amen.
So that we could be the pure worshipers of God.
Right.
We could be those who are really becoming the testimony of Jesus by focusing on nothing and no one but Him. B, religion comes in. Listen to this. Religion, when does religion come in? When there's a shortage of Christ. Religion comes in when there's a shortage of Christ. Many people just pray religious prayers and they put a bead over here and a bead over here. I'm done. Hallelujah. I got done. But sometimes we're like that too. I'm done. The Lord doesn't want us to be blah, 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 blah. The Lord wants us to touch Him.
Amen.
Enjoy Him.
Amen.
Be one with Him.
Amen.
Religion comes in when there's a shortage of Christ. What's religion? The worship of God without the experience and enjoyment of Christ. Religion becomes prevailing when there is no Christ. Just before we came into the church life, my wife and I were seeking, and we came into this denomination where we loved some of the people, but after we just being there a little while, there was so much fighting among them because there was no enjoyment of Christ. Occupied 100% with doctrine, but not with the living reality of all the truth, which is Christ.
Amen.
See, the religious world did not receive Christ, but rejected Him. So, brothers and sisters, when Jesus was on the earth, tell your neighbor, who was the biggest opposer to Jesus? Was it religion or just the secular world? Well, it was the world in general. It was the world in general, but who initiated the crucifixion?
Religion.
Kill him! Who was saying kill him? Jesus. Paul was very accomplished as a religious leader. And what was his goal? Kill every believer around here. Put him in jail. Get him off the street. So this is why we need to be rescued. Religion becomes prevailing when there's no Christ. See, the religious world did not receive Christ but rejected Him. For this reason, Christ ministered outside of religion. Where did He go to gain disciples? Galilee. Who were the first disciples? Galileans. They weren't from the religious world. They were Galileans in another part of the good land. And they became crazy lovers of Jesus.
Amen.
The religious ones were so full of their concepts, they couldn't follow the Lord. So the Lord had to have some Galileans follow Him. Lord, make us all Galileans.
Amen.
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 Although religion attempts to teach people to worship God, please God, serve God, and do many things for God, in actuality, religion keeps people away from the fulfillment of God's purpose. Therefore, religion is evil in the eyes of God. So, brothers and sisters, my wife and I were very close to the pastor. We worked with the young people. We knew everybody there. We knew most all the ones where we were. We're real believers. But because Satan had brought them into a division and they weren't caring for God's economy, the truth of the Bible, eventually we experienced total dissatisfaction because we were not being filled with Christ, not constituted with Christ, not enjoying Christ. But when we came into the church life, our whole life has changed. Amen!
Amen.
We cannot help but enjoy Him. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Oh, He's the real enjoyment in this universe. We had some verses earlier on a couple points earlier. It was from Matthew 9 about Christ being the new wine. And He does not fit. The new wine does not fit into old wineskins. What does this mean? New wine is Christ as the exciting new life with fermenting power. But when you begin to see and enjoy this exciting new life with fermenting power, he doesn't fit in an old religious wineskin. And I began to enjoy this Christ, and even in the middle of a Sunday morning meeting, wanting to speak something or declare, Jesus is Lord, but it doesn't go over too well. Help people to enjoy Christ. What's enjoy Christ? Eventually you realize new wine does not fit into an old wineskin. An old wineskin is just a religious kind of atmosphere. But you put Christ in there, it says the wineskin will burst because it cannot handle. It cannot handle. The last denomination we were in, we loved the pastor and his wife. We were very close to them. But after listening to us, and we were teaching a Sunday school class with young people, and the class got bigger, and we were supposed to teach a whole several months from their Sunday school booklet called On the History of the Baptist Church. But I had just read something by Watchman Nee, so I didn't use that. I used the church, Normal Christian Church Life by Brother Nee. But, oh, the more we spoke that, the more we got into that, the more we enjoyed and saw the reality of the church. It's just Christ filling us and the oneness of the church. And the class started having some others were coming into the class, and eventually the head of the engineering department at the University of Wyoming, his son was in there, and he was, they became, what's wrong? What's going on in there? So the pastor read the book. He saw this book was full of new wine. Anyway, he didn't really see that. But anyway, after he got done reading it, he said to us, if you really believe this, you shouldn't be here any longer. And we said, we agree. And we parted in a very loving way. And I found out just about a year ago, this pastor is still alive, and he saw one of the brothers and sisters in the churches recently, and the first question he asked was, how are we doing? He says, even to this day, he said, he still has respect. In other words, he realizes there's something there. There's something there. So he stuck with the old wineskin, but he realized we were enjoying new wine, and we needed a new wineskin.
Amen.
It wasn't fitting in the Baptist denomination. Amen. So the Lord wants to rescue us out of this present evil age. Anyway, you know, the new wine is so good. Just tell you another story. When we first went to Nigeria the first time, we got out the airport. Very dangerous for us to go. But some brothers were there, you know, greeting us, and a couple brothers went with us. And so we were good. We come out of immigration, and that's when it's really dangerous. Anyway, but when you get to know the people in Nigeria, they are awesome. They are wonderful, and they are really, really, really seeking. Anyway, this great big husky blonde fella came over, and he saw us heading out, and he just came over us, and I could tell he was angry and frustrated on the other hand, and he came up to us. He said, can I go with you? I said, what's up? He said, he's an engineer, and he was the head of the Heineken beer brewing company in Lagos, Nigeria. He and his wife and a couple little kids live a couple hours outside of town. They've been there a couple of years, and he's a real trooper. Anyway, people from his company weren't there to pick him up, so he was very angry that no one picked him up. And everybody and their grandmother has a tag on them, you know, wanting you to take them for a taxi. And he says, you see them? 9 out of 10 end in serious crime. I'm not taking any of them. Can I go with you guys? Because he saw we were just loving one another and doing it. And he says, you can drop me off at a certain hotel, and then I can get a ride from there. So we did. We took him. So since he was head of a beer company, we just shared with him about new wine. And that Christ, you know, Christ put on human nature and become a man like me. He died upon the cross that I from Adam might be free. He is risen, and the Spirit has come to live in me that he might be my life. Anyway, we sang to him, I think, and then just shared with him how this wonderful Christ is the exciting new life with fermenting power. People want beer because they want the fermenting. But we have the real fermenting power. Woo! You know, when the disciples were preaching the gospel in Acts 2, people were saying, you guys are drunk. They said, you're drunk. They said, no, we're not drunk. They were full of the new wine. They were full of Christ as the life-giving spirit. Anyway, this fellow ended up driving with us, and he ended up calling on the name of the Lord with us. And he was very happy when he got out. But I never forgot that. Praise the Lord, our Christ is the new wine.
Amen.
But he only fits in new wineskins. Religion cannot hold it. Okay. E, for those who fear God and seek God, the religious world is a much greater problem than the secular world. Brothers and sisters, if a person seeks God and fears God, the religious world is a much greater problem than the secular world. And the religious world, sorry to say, is a mixture. Where you attempt to worship God, please God, apart from the enjoyment of Christ, and mix even your exercise with many godless things, secular things, secular things. And because you want to attract people, you'll just bring in the worldly means. A certain kind of rock music with a certain kind of beat, and everybody forgets where they are, what they're doing. But eventually what's happened is Satan has leavened the whole situation. Everybody just carried away. But sorry to say, everybody missing Christ. Christ has been replaced. Certain places, if you took away the rock music, they'd say, I'm going somewhere else. Do they want Christ or do they want the music? Nothing should ever replace Christ. F, God's economy, which is versus religion, there it is, God's economy, that's Christ, is versus religion, is the experience of Christ as the Spirit in our spirit.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, in conclusion of this word, we want to be those who are enjoying this Christ who's the Spirit in our spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, neighbor, he who is joined to the Lord is one Spirit.
Amen.
Now tell your neighbor, neighbor, the Lord be with your spirit.
Amen. The Lord be with your spirit.
So we want to be those exercising our spirit.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, how can you escape from religion? You can escape from religion by focusing on nothing but Christ and exercising your spirit.
Amen.
To enjoy this wonderful, all-inclusive one who today is the Spirit within you.
Amen.
We want to be occupied with Him.
Amen.
Enjoying Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Galatians exposes religion more than any other book in the New Testament. Paul's intention is to use the background of religion to reveal the subjective Christ. Brothers and sisters, why does he use this background of religion? Because he wants us to see the experiential Christ. And unless you have that background, so Paul used many times the background in a certain situation was just to unveil the experiential Christ, who is the Spirit. You know, those verses there, I hope you would all learn these through this training. 1:15, 16, 2:20, 3:27, 4:19. What is it? Christ revealed in me. Christ living in me. I'm clothed with Christ. I put Him on. And Christ being formed in me. Now, Galatians reveals that the Spirit is the reality of Christ in our experience. Amen. How about we read 3:14? And we'll touch this a lot more tomorrow. Galatians 3:14. Everybody that has it, let's go. In order that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Amen. The blessing of Abraham, which is the Christ. Christ is the blessing. He's the real blessing. But sisters, we've received the Spirit. God bountifully supplies to us the Spirit. And God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. In the Old Testament, they were given a physical piece of land to enjoy, to possess, enjoy, and be constituted with for God's building. But in the New Testament, it's not a physical blessing, but it's Christ Himself. Amen. As the substantial, or as the pneumatic, experiential, subjective Spirit. Amen. Amen. So this is the one who is the real blessing. Now, since we have the Spirit, we must walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, sow unto the Spirit, and reap eternal life of the Spirit. What saves us from religion, brothers and sisters? Walk by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Sow unto the Spirit. And to reap eternal life of the Spirit. Our focus is just Christ as the Spirit. Christ in you. The Lord be with your spirit. We want to walk according to Him. When everything was going wrong today, and I mean everything, the Lord just reminded me, walk according to the Spirit. And I just thank the Lord for His supplying. His supplying. So the Lord desires we walk according to, pay attention to, be led by. In other words, directed, not by environmental things. Environmental things can be terrible. 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 They can make you so mad, so frustrated, you can do a lot of things. But, praise the Lord, the Spirit supplies you.
Amen.
Amen. In the middle of so many terrible things. So we want to be those who live, walk, and move, and have our being according to the Spirit. G. Let's read G together with a strong spirit. Go.
The Lord needs a group of people who will reject anything of dead knowledge, doctrine, or religion, and care only for the living Christ and the life-giving Spirit. This requires a radical change in our concept, our daily life, even our church life.
Amen. So we want to be those who reject anything that's just religion.
Amen.
But care only for the living Christ as the life-giving Spirit. So may the Lord grant us all a radical change in our concept. H, we must be delivered from the subtlety, deceit, tradition, superstition, mixture and atmosphere of religion, to have the pure church life as the shining testimony of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's conclude by reading these verses that are written here, especially the first four. Okay? Let's conclude by reading those. Acts 2:40. Acts 2:40. Very, very wonderful verse right near the end of Peter preaching the gospel, the first gospel message. Brothers and sisters, pay attention. The first gospel message.
Amen.
On the day of Pentecost. The Lord was speaking through Peter. Let's read 40 with a strong spirit. Go. And with many other words, be saved from this
crooked generation.
Shout that last part. Be saved from this
crooked generation.
Sisters.
Be saved from this
brothers, be saved
from this crooked generation.
Listen, this does not mean we don't care for any people, but we are here to be saved from this crooked system. This system which is full of replacements for Christ. There must be a holy, righteous indignation, a holy anger, not at people, but at Satan.
Amen.
And his subtlety.
Amen.
To disguise himself through this system in order to snare us and to cheat us from Christ. Satan is a liar.
Amen.
I went onto campus the other day. I was just taking a walk in the morning about 4 days ago. And I met a guy that had just been saved about a week ago. And he was a Muslim. He was a very devout Muslim who hated Christians. And he'd been saved about a week ago. In his first sentence out of my mouth, I didn't say anything to him. We just got to talking. He says, I just met Christ. I got saved last week. He says, and all I can tell you, I think he said, Jesus lives in me. And this is, was very clear. He said this, and Satan is a liar. Hallelujah! He lied to me through the Quran. He lied to me through all those years of religion. Praise the Lord! Anyway, let's go to Philippians 2:15. Philippians 2:15. Okay, ready, go. That you may be blameless and guileless, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverted
generation,
among whom
you
brothers and sisters, what should we do? What should we do in this crooked and perverted generation?
Shine!
We care for only Christ.
Amen.
Nothing but Christ.
Amen.
And what happens? You shine.
Amen.
And that shining exposes religion.
Amen.
That shining overcomes religion.
Amen.
That shining is the new wine.
Amen.
That the old wineskin cannot hold. Amen. And then how about, I think that's good enough for right now. So in conclusion, brothers and sisters, let's enjoy this Christ and announce Him, who's everything in God's economy.
Amen.
Satan is a liar.
Amen.
Christ is everything.
Amen.
Christ versus religion.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor that one.
Christ versus religion.
So let us enjoy Christ.
Amen.
Let us shine Christ.
Amen.
Let us be occupied with Him.
Amen.
This is the way to be saved from the present evil religious age.
Amen.
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 We have nothing against any person, but we hate Satan.
Amen.
And we hate his strategizing.
Amen.
And we hate the evil, satanic religious age, which causes Christ to be replaced. Everybody that disagrees with Christ being replaced, say, Amen!
Amen.